This week, our nation celebrates Thanksgiving. So what are you thankful for? Do you know what I'm thankful for? Just listen. That total silence, I do not get a whole lot in the chaos of the Sharp household. As I grow older, year by year, I start to understand a little bit better why my father would get worked up, you know, what 10 or 11 screaming kids will do to an adult in a car ride. I also understand why he would be heard saying, "Stop shouting or I'll pull over and give you something to shout about." But you know what? I actually missed the shouting of my children when I was away from them. About a year ago, I went to Greece for 2 weeks. You don't know what I would have given to hear the shouts of my children and the raised voice of discipline from my wife. I actually kind of missed that white noise that constantly hums in my house. Then again, it didn't take more than a day of being back to wish for the quiet of Greece again, but still. Do you know what God is thankful for? He is thankful for the shouts of thanksgiving from his people. He longs for that shouting. He doesn't like quiet in his house. He wants the shouts of thanksgiving and praise from his grateful people. And so this week, we're going to take a look at Psalm 100 to see what God wants to hear his people shouting about. This is what God's word says. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray. Lord, teach me to shout for joy this week. Show me all the wonderful things you have done for me and said about me. Show me that even on the worst of days, I have reason to shout for joy to you. Amen. The psalmist says, shout for joy to the Lord. Do what? Shout for joy? Yeah, we shout when our team scores a touchdown or when we get a surprise visitor at Thanksgiving. But beyond that, that's not something that really comes naturally for us, is it? It's much easier to groan for frustration. I tend to focus on what's not there and being frustrated about that rather than being thankful for what I do have. So the one who's got all the money in the world, he longs for friendship. And the one who has all the friends in the world, well, he longs for love. And the one who has love longs for money. And so the cycle goes. As you sit down at the Thanksgiving table this year with the feast spread before you, maybe you're going to be thinking about not so much what is there, but what isn't there. The table won't be quite as full because a loved one passed away. The wine won't be quite as nice this year because you lost a job. A relative won't eat as much this year because her cancer treatments have robbed her of her appetite. The feelings won't be as warm this year because a marriage is on the rocks. Maybe you'll be thinking about the things that aren't there instead of the things that are. Shouting for joy to the Lord is not something that comes natural to us. But knowing the secret to contentment, that is the key. There was once a legend about a man who stumbled on the barn that Satan used to store his seeds that he sowed into the human heart. After seeing that the seeds of discouragement were more numerous than all the others, the man learned that those seeds could grow almost anywhere. But after questioning Satan reluctantly admitted that there was one place that he could not get those seeds to grow and thrive. And where's that? The man asked. Well, Satan sadly replied, in the heart of a grateful person. So what do you have to be grateful for? What do you have to shout for joy to the Lord about? Sometimes we're so surrounded by blessings that we actually lose sight of the most important ones, the shout-worthy ones. The psalmist boils it down for us. He says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Satan cannot enter into the heart of someone who constantly reminds themselves of these truths. God made you, and he loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you on the cross. You are now his. Let's pray. Lord, give me a joyful heart by reminding me that you are mine and I am yours. Amen. Kids aren't the only ones good at shouting. Satan likes to shout too, it's just he shouts the wrong thing in your ear. Satan will shout that no one's in control, and he'll shout that everything happens by chance, and he'll shout that no one really understands you, and he'll shout that no one really cares about you but you, and he'll shout that there's really nothing special about you. But you know better, because you know that it's God who made you. And so you can shout back with the psalmist, I praise God because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And you can shout, God knit me together in my mother's womb. And you can shout, all the days ordained for me were written in his book before one of them came to be. And you can shout, the works of the Lord are wonderful, I know it full well. Because the Lord is God. It's he who made you. And what's better is this, the psalmist goes on to say, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Not only did God take great care in making you, but he took even greater care in making you his own. In the fields outside of Bethlehem, a shout burst through the darkness with an announcement from an angel that brought light into this dark world. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And then the shouts of heaven filled the skies. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people on whom his favor rests. Ever since the Garden of Eden, God had been knitting together a plan to bring forward the perfect person that we needed. And then in the womb of Mary, God knit himself into our history. Not once did Jesus ever listen to the shouts from Satan, those temptations. Not once did Jesus ever fail to shout praise to his Father, even when it looked like he had nothing. And then on the cross, Jesus shut the mouth of Satan forever when he spoke those words and shouted those words that will echo through all eternity, "It is finished." Don't lose the comfort of the psalmist's words here. We are not our own. We are not Satan's. We're his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. And if that's all we have, well, then that's enough to fill an eternity with shouts of praise and thanks. Let's pray. Jesus, you made me, and I am yours. Lead me to shout for joy with my life until I meet you in death. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. When we think about the things that we want to shout for joy to the Lord about at your time of grace, we think about you. We thank God for you, the viewers and supporters of this wonderful ministry that reaches so many people with the gospel message of Jesus. On behalf of everybody at your time of grace, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving as you begin to prepare for the arrival of our Savior at Christmas. So this week we've been looking at how we can shout for joy. But how do I work through those feelings of loss for what or who I don't have? The psalmist says this, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." And maybe you're thinking, good? I'm supposed to look at the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one or the pain of sickness or you name it and call that good? Well, here's where it's good for us to look at our lives and your life from God's perspective. You see, God's goal for your life is not to give you everything you want here on this earth. No, remember, we just saw that he made you, and he carefully made you and crafted you, and now he made you his own by sending Jesus for you. His goal for your life is to get you to heaven. And God knows that sometimes earthly blessings stand in the way of that. And so God loves you enough because he wants you in heaven that he's willing to sometimes strip away some of those earthly blessings to remind us of what's really important, to remind you that you have everything you need when you know God and what he's done for you. It is the hallmark of a mature Christian to be able to look at anything that God gives in life and call it good. To be able to shout for joy even in the midst of suffering. To be able to give thanks in everything. Maybe you know people like that. When I think of people like that, I think about My mother, who can find the bright side of just about everything, and we lovingly, very lovingly, kind of tease her about that. My sister-in-law will say, and this is a joke, but she will say that my mother is so positive that she could find the bright side of anything that if somebody were in hell, she'd probably say, well, at least they won't need a coat. I remember last year my washing machine broke, and I know how annoying that was with 8 people in the house not to have a washing machine. And so when I told my mom about it, this is what she said. She didn't say, oh, that's too bad. She just said, Davey, aren't you thankful that you don't live in pilgrim days? Then you would have to wash everything by hand with a washboard. Think of how long that would take. And you just have to laugh because she meant it. Oh, that I could get there. That grateful attitude comes from a heart that knows the Lord is good and His love endures forever. Let's pray. Jesus, teach me to call everything that comes from you good, because I know you will use it to bring me closer to you. Amen. The psalmist says in Psalm 100 that we can shout for joy to the Lord, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In 1636, amidst the darkness of the 30 Years' War, a German pastor, Martin Rinkert, is said to have buried 5,000 of his parishioners in 1 year at an average rate of 15 per day. His parish was ravaged by war and economic disaster. And in the midst of that darkness, with the shouts of fear outside of his window, he sat down and wrote this table prayer for his children. He said, "Now thank we all our God, with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love that still is ours today." Now there is a man who understood that thankfulness comes from God's love, not from outward circumstances. Oh, that we could get there. But can't we with God's help? Remember, the psalmist says, "For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." What if we would take this Bible passage and you would put it in your wallet or your purse for a month, and every time something frustrating happens, before you respond, you would look at this passage and ask yourself how it applies to this situation. How would that change things? To remember that as much as God loves to bless us with outwardly good blessings from our human perspective, He is absolutely zealous about blessing us with whatever it takes to get us to heaven to be with Him. How would that change things? It would change everything. Because the Lord is good and He is forever faithful, so He will do what He promises. So this year, whether you've had a great year or a bad year, whether popularity or shame, whether sickness or health, whether life or death, shout for joy to the Lord, because you know who He is and what He's done. He is good and forever faithful. And for that, dear Jesus, we will be eternally grateful. Amen.